Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 14. In verse 13, Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Sometimes we ask God for something and it doesn't amount to anything. And people get really puzzled by this. Because we know that prayer works. We believe that prayer works. We know that God said He would answer our prayer, and we pray and nothing happens in some cases. And then we start to wonder about prayer. Are we actually approaching prayer correctly? Because I know that God's not lying to me. I know that prayer does work, but it doesn't seem to work for me, at least not consistently, not all the time. So how is it that Jesus said, whatever I ask in His name, He'll do it, and yet it doesn't seem to be what happens in my life? And because people believe God, then they think, okay, I'm approaching prayer wrong because it doesn't seem to be working consistently. And then they'll get an answer to prayer all of a sudden. Well, it does work. And then they don't get an answer to prayer, but not always. And so we need to understand really how prayer works. Because if we don't understand how prayer works, prayer is going to become a frustrating thing to us. He said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." And so people say, well, I asked in His name, I prayed, in Jesus' name, amen. And there, I asked in His name. That's not asking in His name. You know, you don't have to say in Jesus' name, amen, and still get an answer to prayer. But some people think that asking in His name means they say in Jesus' name. The name refers to character. The name refers to nature. The name is not just, well, in Jesus' name. So they'll say kind of like, well, I did it in the name of this person. And they think that's how it's going to be. I'm coming to the Father in the name representing Jesus here. No, you're not representing anybody. You're representing yourself. Don't ever think you're representing somebody else in prayer. You are representing yourself. Now, you may be praying for somebody else, but you're still representing your desire before God on their behalf, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's called intercession. That is good stuff. But you're still representing yourself. So, in Jesus' name does not mean on the behalf of Jesus or coming as a Christian, I'm asking you this, or these different things that people want to make that out to be. It's none of those things. It's talking about the character of God. Now, what is the character of God? Well, it's love. 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:16 tell us that God is love. God is not an emotion. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7 define love. There's no emotions in it. Love is really, at its most basic, the character of God. The definition that 1 Corinthians 13 gives of love is actually just reflections on the character of God and the expression of that character. But if you really want to know what love is the character of God. If you really want to get to know God, you need to know His love. If you really want to get to know love, you got to get to know God. Because love is of God. Love comes from God. Love is the character of God. He's the author of love. He created it. He's the one that it comes from. Keep in mind, it's not emotions. People confuse love with affection. The two are not the same thing. You may have affection and love together, absolutely, and that's not uncommon, but it also happens that you have love with no affection, and it's still love. When God said, "Jacob I loved and Esau I hated," That's talking about affection. He died for Esau. He loved Esau enough to die for him. He didn't appreciate Esau's attitude at all, because Esau sold his birthright, which he had from God, for a bowl of soup. That means he didn't value it very deeply at all, and God hated that Esau didn't value it. So God said, I don't like Esau at all. I like Jacob a lot. But like is not love. That has to do with affection. That has to do with appreciation. But God isn't talking about the agape form of love when he said, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. God is talking about, I appreciated a lot of things about Jacob. I liked Jacob. I have an affection for Jacob. I don't have that for Esau. So don't think that God is love for some and not for others. That's talking about affection. You may love people, but you don't like them sometimes. That's not too uncommon. Sometimes people do things you don't like, and you don't like the person because of it. But if it really came down to it, you said, yeah, I love that person. They're important to me, but I don't like him. Well, love is first long-enduring in its patience, and it reveals kindness as it endures. You don't have to like somebody to endure long with them and have it be kind. As a matter of fact, often it's the people that you don't like that you're enduring long with and being kind to. So don't ever confuse love and affections. They're two entirely different things. God is love. It doesn't say God is affection. Affections have their place, but they're not the same as love. God is love. And because God is love, I can come to God and I can ask Him for anything on the basis that He is love. Now, if I live in the love of God, then I'm asking something as I am in God's character. I receive the love of God and I reflect the love of God. We're commanded to do that by Jesus in John 13:34. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." In John 4:19, we love because He loved us. And so, I receive love from God, then I have love to express, and as I approach God, I express love. Now, here's the thing. As I approach God, I'm not just asking God on the basis of the fact that He loves me. Yes, that does start there, but it doesn't finish there. When He says, in my name, He is saying, you approach God loving God, and then you receive what you want. And that's a very different way of applying it than most people think when they think to themselves, well, in Jesus' name, amen. No, you love God as you ask Him for something. And then it's done for you. This is the way that it works. First it says, ask and it will be given you. You can have complete confidence in Matthew 7:7 that you will receive what you have asked. And then it says, for everyone who has asked receives. Now, that on the surface at first might sound like it's contradicting what I just told you. Well, it says, everyone who asks receives, and if I love God, I receive, according to 1 John 14:13, but then everyone who asks receives. So how do you reconcile that? In Exodus 20, verse 7, the Word of God says, you will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Vain is an emptiness, like it's meaningless. And so what it's saying there is not trusting and depending on Him, not receiving His character, and then not reflecting His character. So if I'm taking the name, the character of God, as though it is meaningless and empty, then I won't try to keep myself in the love of God. I won't abide in John 15:7 in the love of God, and the Word of God will not abide in me, whereby I could get my answers to prayer, because I've taken His character as meaning nothing. This is one of the reasons why people sin. They take His character as meaning nothing. This is one of the reasons why people don't draw near to God. This is one of the reasons why people get careless with God, is they take His character as meaning nothing. That's taking the name of God in vain. It's not that I curse using the name of God. That's how some people define it. That's a very childish explanation. When the character of God doesn't have enough value in my estimation for me to live in that character, I've taken the character of God in vain, in emptiness, as though it meant nothing. Now, everyone who asks receives. That only works if I ask in the name of God. If I ask expressing the character of love, not just toward people, but toward God. In Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In Galatians 5:6, faith works by love. So if I'm asking outside of representing and manifesting and reflecting God's character, God's love back to Him, I'm actually in sin. Because faith works by love. That expression of love, that manifestation, as well as the possession of the love of God, is what gives life to my faith. Well, there's the key. Whatever is not of faith is sin. What happens to sin? The blood of Christ in Revelation 1:5 removes all sin. In Psalm 103:12, it removes it from time. So if I ask outside of reflecting the character of God, then I've asked actually in sin. And as far as God is concerned, as far as reality goes, because of the blood, I've never asked at all. Because the blood removes whatever is not of faith, which is sin. Faith works by love. You cannot have faith apart from love. Love is the energy of faith. You cannot have faith apart from love. So sometimes I can get very impatient with God and say to Him, God, You're not doing what I'm asking. I can act like a six-year-old to God sometimes, yes, but it's not going to get me very far. Why? Because it's actually sin, and I didn't, in truth, even ask. I only thought I did, because I uttered these words apart from the energy, the life of faith toward God, and God said, it's nothing. God didn't even hear it. Why? The blood of Christ removed it. So if I want to have effective prayer, the first thing I need to do is I need to keep myself in the love of God. I need to receive the love of God. Love is what gives prayer its power. And so I keep myself in the love of God, knowing that regardless of my condition, God will love me eventually, if not already, but eventually that will become extremely meaningful. You go through trials in life and you draw near to the love of God and you see how faithful God's love is toward you, you're going to fall in love with the love of God. And then you're going to start having some amazing answers to prayer. Because you're not going to come to Him on the basis of wanting. You're going to come to Him on the basis of loving. And that's a whole different ball game. If all I come to Him is on the basis of wanting, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. I can say, God, give me. But I have to say it in His character. God, I need this from You. But at the same time, okay, love is patient and kind. And so when I ask God, I don't get impatient with God. I don't say, God, I wanted this yesterday. Where is it? That's very unkind. No, I don't get unkind toward God just because God says, wait until I build your ability to receive it, your capacity. I don't get unkind toward God because He says, I know your future and this is not something that will benefit you in your future. I don't get unkind toward God. I don't accuse God of not answering prayer because He's asked me to wait to grow in order to be able to receive the answer to prayer. I don't say to God, well, God, You didn't do it, therefore You're not going to do it, and I simply walk away. That's extremely unkind and impatient toward God. Now, patience toward God doesn't benefit God. Patience toward God benefits us. Because if I learn how to be patient toward God, then I give God what He needs from me in order for Him to work on me. And every single one of us need God to work on us. And so when I ask Him something, I ask Him with love toward Him. I have patience that'll endure a long time. And I'll be kind in my attitude toward Him. I won't accuse Him. I won't think negative things of Him. In 1 Corinthians 13:5, I won't think evil of God just because I didn't get what I wanted yesterday. Instead, I love God because He loved me. I got to know what that love meant, and I trust Him because of that love. If you trust God, then it's always because of love, and it will take you to places without limit. But it's love that's the key to prayer. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in Me, if you keep yourself in the love of God, how do I keep myself in the love of God? Well, first, you look for mercy. You know that no matter what happens, God will be very merciful to you. He will be very patient with you. He will not beat you up. He's going to be very kind to you. Even if you fail, He's going to be very sweet to you if you come to Him. Then you allow the Word of God to abide in you, to stay in you. You keep storing up the Word of God. Sometimes people get to know, and this is one of the things that happens to young people sometimes. They'll go to churches and they hear the Word of God and they get familiar with it. Because they don't have the ability at times to practice all that they are taught. And it simply becomes information, and information can be dull. The Word of God is not information. The Word of God is not given to give you information. That's a side effect. The Word of God is for relationship. I receive the Word of God so I can build my relationship to God, not just so I can know about Him, but so I can have a real, living, practical, effective, everyday detail of life-changing relationship. Well, I keep the Word of God in my heart, my frame of reference. I keep myself in the love of God, and then whatever I ask of God, He'll do it for me. See, the amazing thing is, when you keep yourself in the love of God, all of a sudden selfishness falls away. We don't really realize that. One of our biggest obstacles in our relationship to God is selfishness. Well, selfishness is actually where I'm keeping God out of my life. I'm not letting Him do for me. I want what I want when I want it. And I'm being a brat. That's not going to build my relationship to God. You know what God will do? He'll let me wait and He'll love me. And if I decide to react at Him, He'll let my reaction and the negative effect of that show me that it was a bad idea. But He'll love me the whole time. And so, we get to know the love of God. We keep ourselves in the love of God. We look for mercy. We meditate on the love of God. We get everything we can about the love of God. And we trust it. We mix faith with it. We trust it. And that's where you start getting some real answers. Sometimes people think they can be selfish, but if you have love, you're not going to be selfish. Selfishness is eliminated by love, and love is eliminated by selfishness. And so we keep ourselves in the love of God, and we get some fantastic results as the Word of God remains in us. The Word of God remains in us so that we know how to think. Sometimes we don't even know what to ask Him. If I have the Word of God, knowing what to ask Him is not going to be a problem. And so we keep the Word of God in our heart, constantly receiving the Word of God every day, building that relationship, and then we think with His thoughts. Well, I'll tell you something. Have you ever thought to yourself, man, I could sure use something to drink, and then you go in the fridge and you pull out some juice or tea or whatever, or go to the faucet and turn on the water and pour yourself a cup of water and you drink? Have you ever done that? Well, yeah. Well, that's what it's talking about. That kind of an effect. Where I have the mind of Christ and I come to Him with His thinking. And then prayer becomes very similar to just God thinking. And because I bring something to Him, and I'm the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12:27, and when I say I mean all of us, it's not just me. If I come to Him and I have the mind of Christ, I have the Word of God in my thinking, then I'm simply reflecting God's thinking to Himself. Of course He's going to do it. That's what He's been thinking about. In Luke 18:1, men ought always, and by the way, this is women too, men ought always to pray and never to lose heart. Men ought always to keep themselves in the love of God and the Word of God in their frame of reference, and then draw near to God, talking to God, asking Him, bringing their needs, bringing their desires, bringing their thoughts, or just telling Him about your day. They ought always to come to Him, because if they do, they'll never lose heart. They'll never get discouraged. They'll never want to quit. They may be challenged, but they never lose heart. Prayer has a specific way of working. If you pray according to the way prayer works, that's where you get answers. Otherwise, it's just another form of sin. And God's not going to answer sin. But He will, absolutely, He will answer love. Amen?